Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Watching any sport is a hell of a lot more exciting when you got a little something something riding on the game. But what happens when the season is over? At my bookie, there is no off season. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, boxing, heck, table tennis, MMA, and more. If they got it, you can bet it. If the games are being played, the line is on the board at my bookie. Just remember, where you bet though is every bit as important, if not more so than what you're betting on. That's why I tell all my friends to go to mybookie.ag. Oh, but my state just approved it. There's a big whatever, or these guys are in the market. Nah, Johnny come latelys. You want to trust them? Trust the bookie I've been working with for years, MyBookie. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does it matter? Oh, I don't know. Maybe a million reasons. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. You name it. Plus, you get a bonus with me at mybookie.ag. Use promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's promo code ZABE and get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. You bet, you win, and most importantly, you get paid with mybookie.ag. This is the ZabeCast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go! Here we go! 103-91, your final as the Oklahoma City Thunder, your NBA champions. And that concludes the ride that is sports for 2024-2025, like a roller coaster coming into the station. Please exit to your left and take all your belongings with you. That's it. We're going to have a wild 8 to 10 days, though, because you've got a huge trade already that happened this afternoon. We'll talk about that in a second with Durant, along with free agency. The NBA draft is 2 days from this morning, Monday morning, so it's Wednesday night. NBA draft, free agency in 8 days, or at least the official tampering period, and there could be quite a few players on the move. And then you add to the mix, what are the Pacers going to do next year, minus their heartbeat and their star in Tyrese Halliburton, who blew out his Achilles on Sunday night. The third player in these playoffs to blow out their Achilles, and all three players wearing the number zero. Unbelievable, right? So you got Tatum, you got Dame, and now you got Halliburton. A lot of stuff to unpack from this game. I'm not going to spend too much time on it because I'm going to get into it more tomorrow. I'm on my way to bed right now, as I think you can understand, but still, 103-91, your final score. Net-net is this. The Oklahoma City Thunder, worthy champions, a great team, well-constructed, withering defense. Yes, SGA, your MVP of the finals, gets too many calls. But they are a great team. They paid for it in blood, by the way, because they had back-to-back 22 and 24 win seasons before they started crawling out of the cellar, and Sam Presti has done a phenomenal job. It takes paying for it in blood, hitting on the lottery, and it doesn't hurt to have a team make an asinine trade, which is what landed them Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. It's doable for what is now the smallest market to ever win an NBA franchise, number 47 in the NBA in terms of market size. Yes, even smaller than Milwaukee, who won it in 2021. In fact, here is the number for you right here. Darren Revelle tweeting that it's the smallest market to win an NBA title. Market 47, wedged in between Greensboro, Winston-Salem, by the way, nice area, and Albuquerque, Santa Fe. Neither one of those metros are about to get an NBA team or any pro sports team anytime soon. So congrats to the Thunder. Incredibly, brutally heartbreaking loss for Pacer fans because of the Haliburton injury. It wasn't just that he had played well to get them to game seven and that he started off on a heater. It's that you know you start next year with a long waiting game to get him back. And even though they're getting better and better at repairing Achilles nowadays, you got to figure he won't be ready to play again until at the earliest March, something like that. I mean, that would be an insanely quick turnaround because he injured it much deeper into the playoffs than Dame did or Tatum for the Celtics. So that's just tough. And everything was breaking right for the Pacers. Not that they didn't deserve their wins. They too did deserve their wins. But to think as a fan, okay, we were right there. In fact, led at halftime, even with Haliburton already limping off into the locker room. You led at halftime. And then OKC and their defense basically shut off the cable, shut off the heat, shut off the water, shut off the electricity, shut off the phone. And yeah, Indiana was able to splice the cable from a neighbor's. They got a space heater in there. And it was still like, I think it was a 10-point deficit with 2 minutes and change to go. Did it get down to 10? It might have been 10 or 12, something like that. They were the ultimate zombie team this postseason. Had the Pacers won, they would have set a mark for the first team to ever win the finals, having eight players score more than 200 points in the playoffs. So that tells you about the balance they had as a team. But three injuries to Achilles, two of them based off of pre-existing calf conditions, Dame and Haliburton. And you had two more injuries with the Pacers with Achilles to start the season. Isaiah Jackson and James Wiseman were gone after like 8 days. I didn't know that until I heard on the broadcast. And yes, there are more Achilles injuries now in the NBA, about 5 to 8%. How do I know this? Because my podmaster, my marketing guru, Chris Broussard, no relation to the guy on the radio, went to ChatGPT and typed in the question, are there more Achilles injuries now than ever? And it gave this long-ass answer, paragraph, 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 because, you know, ChatGPT is sort of like my father in that if you ask him a simple question, he'll give you the whole encyclopedia if he's got time. And he usually had time to give you the full encyclopedic answer. I just responded to my guy, Chris. I go, man, I ain't reading all that. And he goes, all right, net-net, 5 to 8% increase. Most Achilles injuries in the NBA since the previous high of 5 in 2014, 2015, and they have had 8 this year. These are still small sample sizes. We're talking about the difference between 5 injuries and 8 injuries. And please, nobody start in with the whole, we need to really shorten the season guys' bodies are breaking down. You know, it's bad enough. They're load managing. And have you seen the salaries of these guys in the NBA? No, we're not giving them less of a season for the same amount of money. Sorry. Even if many of us, like myself, do not watch the NBA in any significant way until April or even May rolls around. There's become a season for everything. You know, football season is September all the way through January. College basketball season is February and March. Baseball season layers in, but we're not going to worry about that until like right now because it's all we got. And the NHL and NBA season for a lot of people is April, May, and June. And that's it. So I feel kind of sad. The ride is over. It was a fun ride. Sports 2024-2025. Yay, sports. All the drama, all the amazing finishes, all the heartbreaks, all the bad calls, all the bitching about the referees, and of course, all the injuries that end up flushing your entire year of being a fan. Makes you wonder, why do I do this? Why am I into sports? Because it's a great, fun ride, and nobody dies. Nobody. It's all for our entertainment. It is, like the Romans once said, the bread and the circuses to keep the masses pacified. So, we head into the summer. NBA trade rumors, a lot of shams, bombs, the draft on Wednesday night where all these young men get to dress up in their very expensive suits and have all their friends and family around for them. And then baseball. A lot of baseball. I'd say there's a lot of golf, but there's not a lot of golf left. Poor Tommy Fleetwood has never won on the PGA Tour. And he coughed up a three-stroke lead at Hartford. Keegan Bradley, your winner, who's going to be the captain of Team America in the Ryder Cup this fall at Bethpage. Could be a playing captain, would be the first in 63. I've already said on record, or at least on Twitter, I'm like, hell yeah, he should be. If he's in the top 12, he should be playing. He should be the playing captain. Don't give me this stuff about, oh, it's such a complicated job, and it's a lot of responsibility being the captain. Pfft. You set the lineups, and then you go play. Let's not kid ourselves. You can't affect the outcome with an earpiece in, sitting on a custom cart. You just can't. You got to make more putts. Now, I'm not saying you should play five sessions, but yeah, you should play. You should play two sessions and then singles. See what happens, right? Anyway, so we don't have much golf. We got one more major to go. This Hartford event was the last elevated or signature event for the tour. And then, of course, training camps start end of July. And, of course, the other big news on Sunday in the association is something that Roger Goodell would have never in a million years have allowed to happen, which is a major blockbuster trade taking oxygen or taking any kind of attention away from the Game 7 finale of the regular season. But here it was. Kevin Durant to the Houston Rockets for quite a bit of assets, but in reality, seems like most of the NBA honks and pundits online are crushing the Suns overall, saying you're still not doing it right. Now, they get two starters in the form of Jalen Green and Desmond Bane. And Bane has become quite a good three-point shooter in addition to being a really tough, defensive, hard-nosed player. And Green is their number one scorer, at least he was last year on the Rockets at 21 points per game. However, his so-called net rating and plus-minus does not fare well. And he has already been given a huge contract that is deemed to be a bit of an albatross. So the Rockets get out from under the albatross. They get a proven veteran in Durant. And they also get they only have to give up 5 second-round picks, the Rockets do. Of course, the Rockets gave up their first-round pick this year. That's 20th overall. But they believe they've got two-way rising force in Amen Thompson, who many casual fans have no idea how good he is. I was in that category till I really started paying attention. They got Alperen Sengun, as well as some other assets, some younger guys. So Houston seems to be in a good spot, and they get Durant to try to push him over the top. We'll see about that. As far as the rest of the trade, well, we'll see. Ime Udoka just got a new contract as well. He's one of the best coaches in the NBA, and I'm old enough to remember when he had that little bit of infidelity there in Boston that cost him his job. So that's all been smoothed over, water under the bridge, and Houston thinks they have their centerpiece in Durant to get them home. But here is some of the comments about the trade from the Phoenix side of things. All right, here's comment number one. Turning Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, and four first-round picks into a swap and a swap into Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, and a late lottery pick in a middling draft in a span of just 28 months, why, that is franchise detonation levels of asset mismanagement. Then there's this. Matt Ishbia took an NBA team that was two wins from a championship and dismantled it and wants us to be happy that the hot dogs are cheap. Yes, Ishbia, the former Michigan State bench scrub, turned billionaire, turned owner, who you would have thought at the time, okay, thank God we got a better owner now, because the Suns have been plagued with some shit owners. You're like, this guy's young, he's energetic, he knows ball, he knows hoops, he's been in basketball as a player, like, what could go wrong? Well, you're seeing it. It's that, I can do this, let's make some moves, let's get some veterans, you know, they still have to move Bradley Beal. Good luck on that. He's like a grand piano stuck in a 10th story walk-up Brooklyn apartment where you're good luck getting that thing out of there, but they're going to try to figure out a way. Here's your Jalen Green on-off court net rating swings for his career. Rookie, minus 6.1. Second year, plus 1.5. That was when I think they got him the big extension. Third year, minus 3.9. Fourth year, minus 8.1. According to Sam Cooper Hoops on Twitter, he is the definition of empty calories as a player. Then there's this. Last one on this trade from the Phoenix perspective. Early 2023, Suns have Booker, Bridges, Johnson, Chris Paul, DeAndre Ayton, and all of their own first-round picks. 2025, the Suns have Booker, Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, no starting-level center, a few picks, and Bradley Beal, who they cannot move. It's going to get interesting now that the NBA Finals are over, because we are steamrolling towards free agency and then the heat of summer trade rumor season. And yes, Bucks fans, if you thought Giannis's proclamations or anything from Doc Rivers is going to fully extinguish the could Giannis be moved talk, no. Even after the draft is done, it will still persist. ESPN is putting out headlines saying, don't be surprised if Giannis trade talks persist late into the summer, which translated means we're not going to stop talking about it when there's nothing else going on this summer. Dateline, one more thing, by the way, on Durant. Durant has a unique situation personally that I wasn't fully tuned into. But then it dawned on me, I'm like, oh, that's right. Durant does not have a current girlfriend or wife. He was married 8 years ago, but not no more. Here's the reasons why. He's got three reasons, at least if you believe this TikTok. And I think I've heard and read about these parameters for Durant before. But take a listen and tell me what you think.
Years now, and he has for 8 years now. Kevin Durant's been divorced for 8 years now, and he hasn't dated anyone since. It's not that he doesn't want love, it's just that being his girlfriend means meeting three big rules. And honestly, almost no one can handle them all. First, you gotta support his job, no matter what. He once said, during the season, I don't want anyone complaining that I'm ignoring them. I just want to give it my all. So if you don't get why he lives and breathes basketball, you're out. Second, you need to have your own money. He's not looking for someone who depends on anyone, and he's definitely not messing with girls chasing his cash. He said it straight. I respect women who have their own thing going on. Money's not the issue. Mindset is. Third, you have to protect his privacy, especially his family's. He once deleted his social media and shut off comments just because his girlfriend's friend leaked a photo of his house, and he made it real clear. My girl can't let anyone know where I live. What do you think?
Well, I know that he's going to live in Houston, or at least have some residence there, but where exactly, we shall see. I love all of this. Now, I know what you're saying right now. You're like, Zabe, he's the guy with the burner account that when he was in OKC was self-tweeting and going at people from his burner. I get it. He is also a ring chaser. He is a guy that was happy to join an already super team in the Warriors to get his ring. I get it. If all of this is true, I like him a lot more than maybe I think I previously did. Oh, yeah, the voice that's that them, AI voice that a lot of TikToks
and
use.
Honestly,
does anyone know who this voice actor, voice talent is that gave them this voice to use? And how much money did he get paid? It's part of the TikTok suite of tools whenever you put something up and you want to type something in and have it narrated. I'm just wondering, who is this guy with a very unique voice?
First, you got to support his job no matter what.
I'm not even sure. What would that accent be, do you think? If it's an accent of any kind. It's, I think, American, but what regional dialect? Could it have been an entirely computer-generated voice for which there is no original voice actor that gave them the sample of his tonality and the sound of his voice? I don't know. I know exactly how it feels to look in the mirror and notice, hey, my hairline is playing defense right now and it's not winning. The forehead keeps on advancing. But who has time to deal with hours and hours of doctor's appointments to try to win the battle? That's where Hims comes in. They've changed the game. Hims provides convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments at work, all from the comfort of your couch. No need to take time off of work. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. The best part is the process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. And here's another win. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/zabe. That's hims.com/zabe for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/zabe. Prescription products require an online consultation with healthcare providers who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information. You've heard the saying a million times, the best offense is a good defense. But those words of wisdom extend far beyond sports. In life, the best defense is making sure your life insurance policy is right for you. That's why I go to SelectQuote for the best coverage at the best price. Now that's what I call a power play. Unlike other one-size-fits-all life insurance companies, SelectQuote's licensed agents work for you in as little as 15 minutes. They'll compare policies from top-rated carriers to find you the best fit for your health and your budget. And they work for you for free. No medical exam? No problem. They partner with providers offering same-day coverage up to $2 million without needing to visit your doctor. Get the right life insurance for you for less. And save more than 50% at SelectQuote.com/Zabe. Save more than 50% on term life insurance at SelectQuote.com/Zabe today to get started. That's SelectQuote.com/Zabe. You know, one of the things I love most about Indeed is that it makes hiring so fast. In the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. If you are overwhelmed by the hiring process or you've been struggling to get your job posts seen, listen up. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. Your post jumps right to the top of the page for relevant candidates, so you reach exactly who you want faster. And it makes a huge difference, according to Indeed data. Sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this podcast will get $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the podcast by saying you heard about it right here on this pod. Indeed.com/Charlie Zulu Alpha Bravo Echo. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring Indeed is all you need. Dateline degenerates. First of all, mybookie.com, the official place to get your sweet, sweet action down on. And we recommend it to anybody. It's a great book. It pays out when you win. And no fun and games. It's all fun, no games. Let me put it that way with mybookie.com. Promo code Zabe, as always, Charlie Zulu Alpha Bravo Echo to unlock all the promotions that run throughout the year. That said, be careful that you don't get in over your head, but with your head, no over it, as Furio once said. And of course, every gambling outlet has a gambling addiction hotline. So imagine my glee and delight when I saw two dudes purportedly wagering with each other $100 on whether or not the person answering the gambling addiction hotline was going to be a male or a female. Unbelievable.
Thank you for calling the gambling helpline.
Come on. Sorry, wrong number. Come on, bring me my money.
Sorry, wrong number. It's all they wanted to do. Okay, I'll bet you $100 is a woman. Now, that's a hard one to referee as a wager because your buddy might have called it before. Of course, they might have a room full of people. I wonder, that does get me to thinking, though, if there's a room full of men and women, live bodies, human beings, to try to talk you off the gambling ledge. What percentage are men versus women? Because you know damn well, I would think that for most gambling problems, most gambling addiction problems are men. Let's go with that. And I would say that most men, when they are so down on it that they decide, all right, I guess I'll call this number. I got a problem. The last thing they want to hear, the degenerate, is a man. That's a buzzkill right there. That's emasculating. That's another man having to tell the guy who's in trouble, hey, bro, maybe you should lay off the parlays. A woman would be more sympathetic, I believe, providing it's not their wife or girlfriend nagging you like, I cannot believe you lost so much money betting on the NFL. Well, I did, but I had a lock and it didn't come home, a stupid kicker. But yeah, I'd love to know the percentage because that's fascinating to me. Wagering on, is it going to be a man or a woman? $100. Yes. Let's talk this Iran thing for a second. I'm torn because on the one hand, I don't know if it's going to be good net-net if indeed we knocked out Iran's nuclear capabilities for a generation or longer. Then that's great. Nobody wants Iran and the mullahs with a nuke. But do we know? Like, they're saying, oh, yeah, all these nuclear sites completely destroyed. Really? You sure? You sure they don't have others? Now, I know that we've got incredible intelligence. The Israelis have incredible intelligence, right on down to boots on the ground and satellite surveillance and radiation detectors and drones and B-1B spy planes and all that stuff. I get it. But I don't know exactly what to believe. There's, you know, there's photos of, here was the Fordo nuclear site before and after. And my first thought was, I was hoping for more destruction than that. Didn't look like the scene in Top Gun, the reboot, where they dropped the bunker busters in and they blew it all up and the whole thing caved in. And if a GBU-57, which is a ordnance that apparently only we have, only America has this particular ordnance, non-nuclear, but the largest, biggest blasting conventional bomb in the world. If this GBU really did, you know, they say it can penetrate 200 feet of concrete, 200 feet of solid concrete because of its reinforced, what do you call it? The tip or the body of the bomb as it burrows through. It's got a delayed fuse. So it drops and then burrows through all kinds of rock and concrete. Well, if it's known to have a capacity to go through 200 feet, why don't you make your nuclear bunker 400 feet of concrete? Like, these are all things I don't know. I hope we got it. We don't know what's going to happen now in the aftermath. We don't know what kind of mayhem could unfold in the region, wider conflicts. It kind of looks like, right now at least, that Iran's friends, China and Russia, want no part of this. I think Putin's got his hands full with Ukraine, obviously. Even said that one of the reasons they have not jumped in with both feet is that there's a ton of Russian-speaking Israelis now living in Israel. So, yeah. They'll sell shit to Iran because, you know, it's business, right? China, I don't know what their motivation is. The one thing that is impressive, though. So while I don't know if this is a good thing or not, I don't know if we're on the verge of World War III. I don't want further mayhem unfolding in the region, more people dying. I don't want anyone of our military dying. That's for sure. But if it ends up being, okay, we nipped it in the bud, great. That's a win. I do know this. Pete Hegseth talked about the psychological impact of the fact that we were able to organize a mission with B-2 bombers flying 37 hours nonstop with microwaves, toilets, and snacks, they said, for the pilots, refueling midair through all kinds of covert maneuvering with a bunch of decoy B-2s going one way to Guam and then seven B-2s that had two bombs, two of these bunker busters on them each. Towards Iran, we threw a bunch of Tomahawk cruise missiles in right before we entered their airspace. They said that there was incredible GPS, cellular, and other electronic jamming going on in and around the airspace over Iraq. And they apparently didn't even get a shot off from any of their anti-aircraft missiles or other defenses. Of course, we had F-16s and F-15s and F-22s and F-35s. Flying as support to the mission, the so-called strike package. And Iran is pretty much decimated when it comes to their air defenses. They're not even a fair opponent, but still pretty impressive. So the one thing that is, I think, interesting is the way Hegseth said, okay, here's what Iran now has to think about in regards to this.
Of almost any American if you had an opportunity to watch it in real time. And I think Tehran is certainly calculating the reality that planes flew from the middle of America in Missouri overnight, completely undetected, over three of their most highly sensitive sites, and we were able to destroy nuclear capabilities. And our boys in those bombers are on their way home right now. We believe that'll have a clear psychological impact on how they view the future. And we certainly hope they take the path of negotiated peace. But I could not be more proud.
So, yeah, the boys and our bombers. It did not take long for the New York Times to jump on this. A tweet from one of their reporters. In the briefing, Hegseth referred to B-2 pilots as, quote, our boys on those bombers. Yet both men and women have trained to fly them. Okay. Somebody clapped back by saying, in the song, Lauper proclaimed, girls just want to have fun, yet both girls and boys have equally enjoyed fun, historically speaking. Also, they did confirm, I guess, that there was at least one woman on one of those planes. At least one of the B-2 bomber pilots who took part in the Iran mission was female. So thank God for that. Because we were all worried, was this attack inclusive enough and as gender equitable as possible? One thing I do know is that sometimes with all the misdirection and all of the hiding and all of the secrecy that does get involved in these kind of missions, you can't outsmart the pizza factor and the gay bar factor. I know you're going to go, what? People have been tracking two things as this activity ramped up since Israel started attacking Iran and vice versa. Two things they've watched. One, the activity being reported on, I want to say Yelp, don't quote me on that, Google Business, whatever the online trackers are. They've been tracking the activity at the closest Papa John's to the Pentagon, and that has spiked at times in which it made sense that, yep, everyone's in the Pentagon planning this thing. They can't even move, much less leave to go eat food. So let's order some Papa John's. And the other thing, and, you know, God bless those who may be gay and, you know, in our military, there is a bar called Freddy's Beach Bar that recorded unusually low activity in addition and in conjunction with the high activity of Papa John's at around the same time. I never knew. But gay or straight, man or woman, God bless those who are carrying out dangerous missions, hopefully to keep the world a safer place. Hopefully. Of course, it's probably too soon for memes and jokes. Probably, but that doesn't stop people. It's not stopping you from reporting. Okay. I guess it's not stopping me either. Rumor is Trump is building a golf course in Iran. He's already got the first three holes. Okay. All right. Then somebody made sure to retweet the Dave Chappelle bit about sanctions from the UN. This is a classic.
UN, you have a problem with that? You know what you should do? You should sanction me. Sanction me with your army. Oh, wait a minute. You don't have an army. I guess that means you need to shut the fuck up. That's what I'd do if I don't have no army. I would fuck up. Shut the fuck up. That's right. You win.
Oh, my God. Dave Chappelle. We didn't appreciate him enough while he was doing his thing. Luckily, if you've missed, and I've missed, I'd say, 50% of Chappelle's stuff, I should really just commit to every single episode of The Chappelle Show sequentially, like you would to go rewatch The Sopranos or Game of Thrones or The Wire or Breaking Bad. Just going to go watch every Chappelle show. I know there's some clunker bits in there, but man, some of the classics, unbelievable. Oh yeah, here's another thing about the way life works. People are quick to go, well, now that we've done this, this is going to happen. And humans are notoriously bad at predicting, because we just use whatever we prior thought. We use our priors as our crutch. And so what our whole worldview going forward of unpredictable events, we underestimate unpredictability, and we also lean too heavily on what has happened in the past, which doesn't necessarily really ever apply to future situations. Even if they're similar, there are different outcomes. Like this headline actually kind of blew me away. From CNN, of all places. Quote, has anything actually gotten more expensive because of Trump's tariffs? The answer is no. Predictions from mainstream economists were dire after Trump launched his tariff campaign just a couple of weeks after he began his second term in office. Prices would rise sharply, they said, reigniting an inflation crisis that tens of millions of Americans had elected him to solve, not exacerbate. But that massive tariff-induced inflation spike hasn't materialized. Not even close. I'm reading this shaping. Wait, this is CNN reporting this? Of course, after they say the massive tariff-induced inflation spike hasn't materialized. They add a not yet anyway. And again, there could be a delayed reaction, but let's go back to the initial paragraph. Predictions from mainstream economists were dire. Even the most decorated economists oftentimes have no fucking clue what they're talking about, and they're taking guesses like everything else. So that was interesting. Also, here's one. It's non-political, nonpartisan. Headline, glass bottles found to have at least 5 to 50 times more microplastics as plastic bottles. What? That's right. People insisting on glass, even though it costs more money, because I don't want them microplastics in me. You know, microplastics being these tiny little particles and shards of plastic from all the plastic that's in our food supply and our drinking supply and everything else. Yeah, well, guess what? In a jaw-dropping new study published in the Journal of Food Consumption and Analysis, they found that there is more microplastic in glass than glass itself. Get the hell out of here. Now, what do you do if you're worried about microplastics? Where do you go? Do you go back to plastic? Do you have to explain to your other health-conscious friends? Yeah, believe it or not, here's a study that shows there's more plastic in glass, so I'm back to plastic again. What do you do? I have an idea. It's a crazy idea, but I'm going to throw it at you anyway. You ready? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Like, there is so much stuff that we, as a first world nation with first world problems, can worry about because of our level of wealth and comfort, that it gets to the point of being a hypochondriac about everything. I mean, is it great to have plastic in your food supply or drinking water? No, of course not. Is it going to kill you? Probably not. Something else will kill you other than the microplastics. So don't worry about it. It was sort of like last week during that big line of thunderstorms that came across the east, and there was a radar image that showed what looked like something shooting across the eastern seaboard and up into Lake Michigan, the opposite direction at a high rate of speed. It looked like some kind of, it must have been, if you believe radar, it's like, what was that? Because there's a line of thunderstorms going this way and a going the other way, to the point where Kari Lake, who's part of, I guess, Trump's cabinet in some regard, tweeted out, did anyone else see that? Like, I don't like, this is concerning. How come we haven't had an official word on this? What's going on? So I read all the comments and a lot of people were saying, yeah, it's a radar anomaly. They happen. They're not perfect machines. My colleague, Brian Butch, was a little bit freaked out. I was like, what was that, man? That doesn't freak you out? And because he likes to come with me with either conspiracy theories or things to get all jazzed up about, because he knows that, you know what, I'm fairly receptive to that. I have over the years gotten myself worked up over things that I'm worried about. And most all of them have not come true. Everything from terrorists with handheld, shoulder-propelled missile launchers taking down commercial aircraft to the concept of peak oil. I remember I worried about that way too much. Sleeper set. I mean, you name it. I got my own phobias. But on this, I just laughed at him. I said, well, that big streak on radar, did anyone get a cell phone video of it, even vertically? Did anyone hear it? Did it knock any trees down? Did it create a sonic boom? Did it land somewhere? I had to explain to Butchie my dead Sasquatch theory of all these sort of high profile, oh my God, what was that type events or things. My dead Sasquatch theory, if you haven't heard it, I'll repeat it again here, which is if Sasquatches were real, and Lord knows we got enough reality shows hunting Squatch, we're going out in the woods with our thermal cameras and our, you know, detecting devices, and we're going to camp out and listen for every twig that cracks in the woods. You don't need those. If Sasquatches in any number were real, one of them would have been hit by a truck and the dead carcass would be lying on the side of the road. End of story. No, you can't guarantee. I'm like, trust me. What's their population number? They have to have a population of at least 50 to be able to reproduce. How many offspring do they typically have? What are their mating patterns? How many of their young survive to the age of whatever? What is their range? Is the number of Sasquatch growing or decreasing? And if it's not getting hit by a truck when they aren't minding their business at 2 a.m. on a curvy road in Oregon, then, you know, one of them would have jumped off a rock while chasing something to eat, twisted its ankle or broken its leg, and died right there in the spot. And then there would be vultures, and then some hiker would come upon it like, holy shit, it's a dead Squatch. Even if the thing is decomposed to the point where there's nothing left but fur, then we'd have a Sasquatch fur. So I ain't worried about it. So I told him, I said, well, so is a streak on radar. Might have been something, might have been a UFO. But did it bother anybody? Did it land anywhere? Did it blow anything up? No? Okay, then. Don't worry about it. Last one, then I'm going to end with a little bit of a musical bump out, little song facts for a song that I think is appropriate for right now where we're at in the summer. But one more thing. As we dream about football coming in the fall, I was sent this clip from NFL Films that's on Kevin Gallagher's Twitter feed. Thank you, Kevin Gallagher. But more importantly, thank you, Tim McDarby, my unpaid intern who sends me links all the time down there in Texas. This is why I saw it. He knows things that I would like to see, and he sends them to me. This was a piece by NFL Films in which the late Steve Sable, and it still hurts my heart that he died so young of a brain tumor, just very, very unfair, because he was so wonderful in the development of NFL Films with his father, Ed, who who started NFL Films, convinced the NFL to let them, this fledgling little filming outfit in New Jersey. His dad was an overcoat salesman originally and wanted to make films about football, his favorite sport, and convinced the NFL to give him permission to film their sport, and then they revolutionized the sport. They made it very popular by the way they filmed it. And one of the ways that they did that was with the long telephoto zoom lens to catch the football spiraling in the air. It's an iconic NFL film shot that we've all seen a million times, but you have no idea how challenging it was with actual film cameras with no autofocus. You had to manually focus on the ball as it's flying through the air with a long telephoto zoom lens that would be great for, you know, blowing up the action from far, far away on a sideline or in an end zone, but one little movement of that long lens throws the subject, whether it's the player or the football or anything, completely out of frame. Manually focus it as well, and then pull out, you know, zoom in, catch it in focus, spiraling in slow motion as Biletnikoff and the Raiders staged a mighty comeback. Boom, 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 boom. And then zoom out and continue with the action. It was so hard that Steve Sable talks about working with his camera guys trying to figure out how do we get these shots. Take a listen to this. This is longtime NFL Films cameraman Ernie Ernst. Ernie Ernst, who I know nobody's ever heard of, but he's one of the men that we should thank for giving us such tasty highlights.
That was a different story. Keeping focus on a ball in flight was a real challenge. Trying to keep the ball in frame, well, that was just as hard.
He's showing a lot of the scrubbed highlights
was in frame and in focus,
that you've never seen because they were not
the
good.
But our ground cameramen were persistent, and for every 10 we missed, we captured one beauty. There it is, a tight spiral against the autumn sky, and a fundamental element of the NFL film style was born.
So they had that down pretty good, that spiraling football, which has become, I guess, our trademark. I used to go to some meetings, and I'd see
Ed
some
Sable.
Network men stand around a television set and they'd see that spiraling ball. And I heard one say to the other, how do those guys do that? How do they keep that in focus? How do they follow focus on that? And I thought that's pretty good.
Back then, the 400-millimeter telephoto lens was never used to follow passes or runs. We believed it was only good for isolation and those selected details. And it might have stayed that way, except for a fluke.
Originally, the only time we
this
used
is Ernie Ernst.
The long telephoto lenses is when we were doing an ISO coverage or a wiring. And we had one of the referees by the name of Gallagher. We had him wired.
Wiring meaning they're mic'd up players or refs, which was also innovative as hell.
He set up the camera. The sound man was right next to me. As soon as I turned the camera on, the sound would go shh. So I'm sitting.
So in other words, they had a problem with the wireless mic that rendered their entire shot that they were going for useless. So Ernie Ernst decided, well, I got this can of film. Let me try filming some other stuff with this long telephoto lens. Remember, too, they are burning through actual physical film stock that had to be developed in a darkroom, which was not inexpensive, to just get a small portion of very usable artistic cinematic shots.
Here in the end zone, I got a whole bunch of film and a camera and a long lens. I figured, well, what the hell? I'll shoot some game action. So I start shooting shots of the quarterback's face and the linemen and all that sort of stuff, and followed some game action. By the time I got to the end of the game, I was as frustrated as I could be. I was talking to myself. I mean, how difficult it was to try and do that. And I brought it back, and I was apologetic to the editors and everything else, and I went out and got a couple beers. I was really disgusted. Well, the film was there. They figured what the hell to develop it. And, damn, we had something that no one's ever seen before. We didn't get every one, but, boy, the ones we got were special.
Ernie went on to develop his own unique style with a telephoto lens, including that ball in the air shot, only it got much tighter.
I need to fill in here, because, and if you want to watch it, this guy, Kevin Gallagher, I should have him on the pod. He is an NFL historian and makes sure to note on his Twitter feed, videos and telecast broadcasts and productions of NFL films, I don't claim ownership, intended for historical and educational purposes only. And thank God they're not making him take these down or nuking his account, because he's saying, look, I'm not trying to profit off this. I'm just saying these things exist. You ought to know about them. The shots they're showing, like there's one of Archie Manning, perfect spiral coming right at the camera with the long telephoto lens spiraling. And then at the last minute, because you can't see it, the receiver pops up with his hands to grab it and then starts running. That shot is the essence of what the magic and thrill of the NFL is. It is a brutal game that if you try to run the ball, which is safer to do, you might get a couple of yards on average. It's trench warfare. But if you're willing to be daring and bold and throw the ball, you can scoop up huge chunks of yardage, if not incredible miracle plays of 60, 70, 80 yards or more. And it's all because of a fling of a ball in a weird shape that spins. A lot of times, not perfectly, many times though it is, and it comes down right in the hands of another guy running at breakneck speed with guys trying to kill him, and he's got to catch it. And that was what the shot captured, the essence of why the NFL is so damn good. So it's hotter than hell this week. Looks like in the Mid-Atlantic, it's going to be three straight days of Paul Skeens-type velocity temperatures. 100, 100, 100, 98, 97 for the week ahead. That's in the DMV area. These hot temperatures also in the high 90s, even in the normally not-so-bad upper Midwest. Wednesday, get this, the Brewers and Pirates tangle, and it's going to be Paul Skeens against this kid, Jacob Mizorowski, who, if you're a Wisconsin fan, a Brewer fan, you already know about him. He's 2-0 right now with only one hit allowed in his two appearances so far. He's got 11 strikeouts. He throws 101, 102 with movement and stuff and filth on top of it. Skeens, of course, has an ERA of 1.85. The Miz, as they're calling him, is 1.6 in his early career. While Skeens is a much more hulky kind of, hunky kind of, big mustached, super hot girlfriend in Livy Dunn type guy, Mizorowski is just a tall, I say this lovingly, dork. He is a skinny, tall dork who's kind of corny, but he's going to be a huge star in Major League Baseball. And Brewer fans are rightfully giddy as hell. So the two of them tangle Wednesday in Milwaukee at AmFam Field, and that is going to be amazing. And they're going to have the roof open, and they're going to have the barn doors open out in the outfield, and it's still going to be hotter than shit in that building as the two guys trade 100-mile-per-hour fastballs and strikeouts. So with the heat being upon us, I wanted to go out to one of my favorite summer bangers, Cool for the Summer by the great Demi Lovato. Tell me what you want, what you like, it's okay, I'm a little curious. I'm fascinated by the career arc and the personal arc of Ms. Lovato, who's now 34 years old. She was a former Disney star. And then she burst onto the scene as a pop star. She's gone through all kinds of transformations. She came out as queer, and then she said she was non-binary. Then she said she was gender fluid. Then she said she was pansexual. Well, now she's married. Got married last week, or late May, I believe it was. Mazel, mazel, good things, 34 years old. Had a near coma drug overdose that nearly killed her. She's gained a lot of weight. She lost a lot of weight. She cut her hair real short. She's let it grow out now. I think she's a beautiful woman. I think she is a great pop star. Not quite on the level of Katy Perry, but still close. And this song is just a summer banger because it talks about, you know, having a fling with another girl for the summer. And the lyrics, you know. Tell me if I won, if I did, what's my prize? I just want to play with you too. Even if they judge, fuck it, I'll do the time. I just want to have some fun with you. The song's theme is sexual experimentation with a female lover during summertime, noted for being more aggressive sexually than Lovato's previous releases and garnered comparisons to Katy Perry's I Kissed a Girl. Many said it was a ripoff of either I Kissed a Girl or Jessie J's song Domino. But Lovato stated the songs did not sound alike, saying, I think more than one female artist can kiss a girl and like it. Amen to that. During her appearance on Howard Stern in 2023, she said that this song was inspired by a female celebrity she had a secret relationship with, and that she was thinking about the hookups she had had with the girl and decided to write the song. It's a great summer banger. Enjoy it on the way out, and thanks for listening. As always, rate and review. It's a pain in the ass, but it helps out us who are doing the podcast, us creators, because the algorithm loves human beings rating and reviewing things. And I would love it if you told a friend. Tomorrow we'll get Andy in for the week, and then we'll see what the rest of the week brings as we are launched officially into the doldrums of summer as the NBA is over for the year. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Watching any sport is a hell of a lot more exciting when you got a little something-something riding on the game. But what happens when the season is over? At my bookie, there is no off-season. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, boxing, heck, table tennis, MMA, and more. If they got it, you can bet it. If the games are being played, the line is on the board at my bookie. Just remember, where you bet, though, is every bit as important, if not more so than what you're betting on. That's why I tell all my friends to go to mybookie.ag. Oh, but my state just approved it. There's a big whatever, or these guys are in the market. Nah, Johnny come latelys. You want to trust them? Trust the bookie I've been working with for years, MyBookie. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does it matter? Oh, I don't know. Maybe a million reasons. Better lines, better payouts, less rules, you name it. Plus, you get a bonus with me at mybookie.ag. Use promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's promo code ZABE. And get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. You bet, you win, and most importantly, you get paid with mybookie.ag.